Behind every great espresso-based beverage, there is a great barista. And in the pocket of every great barista is the fine practice of latte art.
This is a 5-layered tulip.
Winged tulip.
A 3-stack tulip.
My specialty is called a rosetta. It's almost like a tree-looking thing.
I usually tend to pour a design called a rosetta.
I'm also going to go in with a rosetta.
I would much rather pour rosetta other than anything else. You can do pretty basic hearts. There's things called tulips, which are like stacks of leaves and hearts on top of each other. There's rosettas, which are like a big fern leaf looking thing. And people do all sorts of different etching and they draw pictures in it.
I wish the radio could see what a swan is, but it's kind of a rosetta, and then you draw a line and then put a heart on the outside of it, so it kind of looks exactly like a swan. So you can go look it up on Instagram, like swan latte art.
Latte art is the pouring of any sort of milk and espresso drink, where you froth the milk and give it a good sort of layer of foam on top, and as you're pouring it, you make a wave pattern and pour designs into the drink with the milk foam.
That last voice was John Fogelman, a barista at Octane. And just a note, latte art is an umbrella term, where a latte is a beverage with specific proportions of espresso and steamed milk. Latte art, on the other hand, refers to the design on top of all espresso drinks that are mixed with milk. Cappuccinos, macchiatos, and even that new thing at Starbucks called a flat white.
You are the cream in my coffee, and you are the salt in my stew. You will always be my necessity. I'd be lost without you.
For the truck stop coffee drinkers of the world, the notion of latte art might sound silly, but the practice actually makes business sense. Erica Lowry is the director of business development at Coffee Fest.
One of the reasons latte art has become so popular is you have to have excellent espresso with perfect crema blended with the perfect milk to create latte art. And if you have great espresso, great crema, and perfect milk, and your end result is a great drink. And so it gives a good measurement for store owners to know that their staff is producing great drinks.
And there is an aspect of it too, which is, you know, when we see something that's visually pretty, when we see a latte that looks very pretty and has a pretty design on it, we've decided in our minds that it's going to taste better, even if actually it's not as good as it could have been.
That was Ben Helfen at the Regional Office for Counterculture Coffee. He also won one of the Coffee Fest Latte Art Championships in 2008.
No, that is the latte, non-fat latte and Americano.
Making a milk-based espresso drink requires focus and attention to detail. Jason Mundy, a barista at Chattahoochee Coffee Company, walked me through making an almond milk latte.
Then I'm tamping the grind to get out all the air pockets. So I'm pulling a double shot into the cup. This is an almond latte, so I'm going to steam some almond milk. So I'm swirling to get all the air bubbles out of the almond milk. And I pour almond milk latte. And you always want to rinse out your steaming pitcher immediately for cleanliness.
I pay attention to my pour speed, like how fast I'm pouring the milk. I'm really focusing on like how full the cup is, like to give me an idea of when to start pouring the art, really focusing on the level, like holding the cup very level and holding my pitcher and my cup straight. That way my art comes out symmetrical and not like leaning to one side. So I'm thinking about a lot of things actually while I'm pouring.
That was Taylor Castle, barista at Cafe Benz. So there's a lot going through a barista's head at any given time. But during competitions like the ones at Coffee Fest, it comes down to muscle memory. Tyler Brown of Octane.
It's head-to-head, so you'll go in, and it's pretty fast and furious as far as how quick the competitions are going. So you'll set up, and every 5 minutes, I think another competition will go. So you'll be ready, you'll pull your shot, you'll pour, and you'll set it down in front of the judges. They'll judge it for about a minute or two, and then the next one goes. So it's going to be pretty exciting and fast.
Out of over 100 applicants who submitted resumes and pictures of their art, 64 have been selected to compete. They've been put in a March Madness-style bracket, and whoever wins advances to the next round, sudden death style. So hopefully you make the best drink of your life all under 3 minutes.
That's actually like a lot of time. You know, it's like a 30-second shot, and then as you're pouring the shot, you can steam the milk, which is also 30 seconds. So that's only 30 seconds to get everything ready, and then pour the thing, which takes another like maybe 10, 15 seconds. So, you know, if you screw up and you botch it, you still have a couple more minutes to like redo everything and then get it out.
One more cup of coffee for the road. One more cup of coffee for I go to the valley below.
That was Robert Hayes, a barista at Dancing Goats in Decatur. Once your cup and your arch nemesis of the moment's cup is out, they are judged under 5 categories.
We have aesthetic beauty, so just the overall takeaway of how beautiful the pour is. The definition in the pour, the color infusion between the milk and the espresso, the degree of difficulty and creativity in the design that is poured, and the speed in which the overall process is done.
Whoever advances through the rounds will be crowned the world champion of latte art. But really, Coffee Fest is only the tip of the iceberg when it comes to barista geekdom. In Atlanta, there are monthly Thursday night throwdowns for baristas to compete, gather, and be merry, and sometimes drink things besides coffee.
Yeah, just dropped in to have a cup of coffee, friend. Don't you offer me none of that whiskey. Don't need no wine. Gotta get that semi down line. So good to see you and Jack.
And Coffee Fest isn't even the most prestigious of the latte art competitions in the U.S., but it does have the largest cash prize. $2,000 for the quote-unquote world champion, $1,000 for second place, and $500 for third. Though low-key compared to something like, say, the American Crossword Puzzle Tournament, it's still not the best place to embarrass yourself. Previous champion Ben Helfen.
If I get beat, I'm totally fine with that. I just want to put out a drink that at least is somewhat decent. And that's my entire goal.
We got rookies, we got seasoned challengers, but none of them seem to be taking it too seriously. Well, maybe just a little bit. Rookie, Shepard Martin of Octane.
The whole competition aspect is relatively new to me. So the like excitement / nervous factor can kind of get to me sometimes.
I don't think there's any like sort of, you know, like name calling or, you know, talking about people or, you know, any sort of weird, maybe a little bit, but not a lot.
There's a lot of cheering that goes on with some of your friends at competitions and throwdowns. So I think it'll get pretty exciting, you know, intense.
Look out because the Tulip Queen is coming strong. But as far as getting like overly competitive, I mean, it's just coffee.
Just coffee, but when it represents a multi-billion dollar market just in the U.S. alone, I guess it's still pretty important. I'm Gabby Watts for City Lights.
Just like a name I remember hearing. Wild winter, warm